This podcast is brought to you by Lanco Group, your business partner for engineering solutions. You are listening to FNR Football Nation Radio.
Our next guest joining us in the Players Lounge is a good friend of the show, former Young Socceroos and Brisbane Strikers defender. Please welcome to the couch the maestro, Wayne Heath. Welcome to the show, mate. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Mate, when you're a friend of the show, we have to add in the maestro bit just to make sure we keep you in the good books, mate.
Yeah, that's good. I'll keep that nickname, mate.
Mate, just before we get stuck into our 9 at 9, which is a few questions just to get to know you a bit better and let the listeners get to know a bit more about you, just to set the scene. So I was lucky enough a few years back to coach this man, and I know firsthand he's all class. So what we'll do is we'll skip the nickname, because I've called him Wayno about a million times at training and in the game, so we can pass that question, and we'll roll straight into, mate, if it suits you. What A-League team do you support?
Look, I can't say I support an A-League team. I only really just started to watch it.
I'll rephrase it for you then, mate. Which team do you think you would best suit?
Probably have to say Perth Glory.
Okay. Well, you're just taking that because they're on the top, aren't you?
Top of the table.
Yeah, that's right. I want to win.
I like you. Yeah, beautiful.
I was just saying you're all class, and now we're just seeing you're a gold digger.
Yeah, well, that's
like
it,
an easy way out.
Trophy hunter.
I'm a winner, mate.
Mate, so you wouldn't choose your local lads, the Roar. That's your home team.
No, not a chance.
To be fair, the Roar could do with a defender or two.
Yeah, well, they're struggling at the moment, but yeah, they'll turn the tables eventually.
Favorite A League player.
Who the new coach comes in.
Favorite A League player.
You give me some tough questions to start, aren't you?
What about Taggart?
I don't know, mate.
What about Taggart?
Hey?
He's banging away for your local team. Is he up there on the list?
Not a chance. I haven't really got one. As I said, I've only just started to really start getting back into watching the A-League probably this season. I've steered away from watching it from a while.
Any reason why?
Yeah. They haven't really, I don't think, run it right. And it just hasn't really engrossed me to come back to watch it. You know, I still love watching the game, you know, soccer, but just, or football, but just the A-League just hasn't really produced enough quality to draw me back.
Were you a big NSL fan then?
I was, to be honest. Yeah. I love watching the games there. I love watching the passion that was involved and some of those, you know, great clubs that were around in those days. You know, the players from that era were just amazing. And, you know, I grew up, well, didn't grow up watching it, but in my later time before I started to play in it, I watched it, a lot of it. And, you know, it was just more passionate. The players, you know, the pace of the game itself just was more appealing for me.
You're part of that old guard that haven't quite been brought across to the A-League experience then.
Yeah, that's right. I think the game's changed a lot, you know, these days, and a lot of the things that sort of we used to love watching wouldn't be allowed anymore. So, yeah.
Mate, if you're stuck in the old NSL days instead of the A-League, that means we can't ask anything about Netflix, Foxtel, iTunes.
iPhone.
Is that the path we're heading down?
Pretty much, mate. Don't even think about that. I wouldn't know what half of those things are.
Mate, we'll lock in Franich. Considering he's playing at the Roar and he plays right fullback like you, and he's got a trusty right foot, we'll lock in Franich for your favourite player.
And he's a glory man. Oh, so he could be playing with
him. Funniest football story or experience?
Funniest.
PG would be good. Keeping a PG would be great.
Yeah, well, that's where it... I had a really good experience with a good friend when I went overseas trialling. Yeah, we had a... it was his 21st and we got stuck in Amsterdam. And
what a horrible place to be stuck.
There was a lot of adventures that we got up to in Belgium and Amsterdam. Well, Belgium, we came out of a club late at night and we ended up having breadstick fights before the baker decided to start yelling at us in whatever language, or Flemish or whatever it was, and we ran off. So, yeah, that was some good times.
Do you still have a passport then?
Well, I did get deported from one country.
So. Oh God, that's amazing.
Okay, well, before we
ruin Wayne fully,
your whole career, mate, we'll move on. One word family and friends would use to best describe you.
Probably passionate.
We'll take that. That's good. We'll lock that in. Your favourite thing you enjoy doing away from football?
I love me football. There's not much away from it apart from, obviously my family. That's a big one that takes up a lot of my time and I love playing with my girls and, yeah, having a good time with them, trying to teach them things.
What about fishing, sewing, anything like that?
No, not really.
Okay, mate.
I wish I could sew.
Well, mate, maybe we can send you some stuff over in the mail. I think PK is a very good knitter.
Used to be.
Yeah, used to be. Name one thing.
He can teach us how to do it.
Yeah, he'll look after
Why
you.
Why not?
Name one thing that you do that really annoys your wife.
Probably chewing my nails.
I think that's a pretty typical guy thing.
I'm on board with that one. Yeah, I get in trouble with that one too.
Yeah, at least if you wash your hands beforehand, it's not too bad.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Worst roommate on away trips.
Michael Baird.
Okay. What was Bairdy's? What caused you to say Baird?
He was he's great to get on with, but yeah, he's a unique character.
Okay,
we'll leave it at that.
We might ask him when we see him next.
Yeah, no, we might need to have extended footage for this on the site, on the website.
Yeah,
to be able to hear the full story from Wayno.
Well, we actually got a video recording of a few of the trips away, but yeah, again, they're not really PG, so and I've got to try and get them developed from the old digital cassette to DVD one
the
of these
VCR.
Days.
So was he part of the breadstick fight?
Was he there at the time? Yeah, I think he was, actually.
Okay. We're starting to get a picture here. Listeners are too. We're starting to hear this. But, mate, it could have been worse. Last week we had Josh Rose on the show, and he was in the car with his wife and kids, so he couldn't say anything. So at least you've got a little bit of freedom today.
Yeah, I've probably got a few stories for Rosie as well, but, yeah, that's for another day.
Okay. And just a couple more questions for you, mate, before we move on to some serious stuff. If you could trade places with anyone in the world, who would it be?
Lionel Messi.
Okay.
That's not a bad trade.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say. I thought you were going to pick someone, you know, maybe closer to home, but you just want to fly all the way over to Barcelona, even without a passport. That's fine.
No, he wants a Spanish gym
team. Well.
And final question, what meal would you cook if you were trying to impress someone? So if you're trying to suck up to your wife or something like that, what would you cook?
Fish dish with a nice salad. My missus loves a really nice salad, and so a nice fish.
A bit of culinary skills there. Look at you.
You must still be in good shape then. I'm saying, yeah, this is a pretty healthy meal.
Yeah, well, yeah, from the times of travelling away and everything, you've got to sort of learn to cook and look after yourself a little bit. So, yeah.
That and you can't use the new digital era Uber Eats.
Mate, that kind of counterbalances to the stories we heard about, you know, losing your passports and that, but you have got some skills, so you're not a bad catch, Wayno.
Yeah, sometimes, mate.
So, mate, we'll move into your youth career. So, PK, what do you got for us?
Yeah, no worries. So was there a player you moulded your playing style around growing up, Wayno?
I'd have to say Paolo Maldini of AC Milan in Italy. Look, he was a player that I tried to really mould my game off. The way he read the game was just so impressive. And, you know, as a defender, I looked at him and I looked at other defenders. And I think I never really had the size, the height of a lot of defenders around the world. But, you know, I could read the game and that was something that was one of my biggest attributes. And, yeah, that came from watching him play and watching how he was able to, you know, get into positions before they were even aware, before the ball was there, before the attacker was there. He was always in the right position. And, you know, that was something I really looked at.
I can't think of too many better players to have a look at, though. So good pick there.
Definitely a good pick.
Mate, if you want to emulate him too, Wayne, he played well into his 40s at Milan. So you're only at 35, mate. You still got a few years
to
go.
Halfway through your career.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know if I'll make that all, but yeah, I'd love to give it a shot.
Mate, we don't mind if you also want to secretly be Italian either. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Was there any particular person who pointed you in the right direction while you were playing your youth football?
Look, I had a lot of good coaches and a lot of good friends that were involved in the game, and they had a lot of influence on my career, you know, especially as a young player. One of my favourite young coaches was Alan Marley up in Brisbane, and, you know, the way he approached the game was different to your regulation. You've got to be this, you've got to be that. He was sort of open to the game and the freedom that the game can have and the changes that the game can have, and that opened my eyes up to just understanding the game a lot more, and that was something really for me. I had a lot of friends that were able to help me to go places, to trial places, and I had a few which I was lucky with.
And so you probably had the coach give you a bit more of an advanced look, and that brought you through to the Young Socceroos, where you represented them at the 2003 World Youth Champions.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, the 2003 Youth World Cup over in the UAE.
And how was that experience?
Oh, that was amazing. Looking back at the time, I was sort of, it was so big and to be a part of. Look, we were able to beat Brazil in our group stage. Like, even not only just the World Cup, but also the qualifiers and the camps beforehand. And, it was just an amazing experience, really.
And did you see, I think we were 3-2 over Brazil?
Yeah, that's right. We're 2-0 up at halftime. And
how does that team talk go?
Yeah, I still remember that one, funnily enough. I don't remember much about games these days. Memory sort of fading as I get a bit older. But look, the team talk there, we had Ange Postecoglou was the coach, and he came in at halftime, and he gave a really, it's sort of stuck with me how he approached us and how what he said to us to get us focused for the second half. And he was very calm, and we went out there and, yeah, obviously we scored quite early in the second half, and then Brazil just absolutely bombarded us with everything they had, and we sort of held on.
But that's what your job was, mate, to make sure we lock down the fort and make sure we take away the 3 points. So, mate, lucky we had you there. So can you tell us, what was it like playing against the likes of Fernandinho and Dani Alves, who were in the Brazilian squad?
Oh, again, at the time, like, you weren't to know who was going to go on with their careers. Like, he wasn't. Some of those guys weren't their best players. They were tremendously good and gifted players, but their best player, I think, went on to play in the UEFA Cup, played in Russia a few times, and, you know, I had to mark him, and what a player. So quick, so sharp, and amazing skill.
He told us you were the best right-back he ever played against. That's what he told us.
Yeah, I did have a good game that day.
I reckon you would have given him a couple of kicks if he was that quick.
Well, I actually did. I got him a beauty. I did get a yellow card for
We're so shocked, mate. We're so shocked.
Well, you know what they say, you can't run without legs. So.
Exactly. But even our side was quite strong. I think you played with the likes of, in that squad, Jedinak, Broski, Mackay, Wilkinson, Carl Valeri. I mean, that was a pretty hot side running around in that tournament.
Yeah, we had a great side, and it was just unfortunate we couldn't go further with the tournament. We played the host nation in the next round. I don't know if our mentality wasn't right for it. They basically put everyone behind the ball and scored a really lucky goal late. And
unlike an Asian side.
Yeah, exactly. We were just a bit unlucky, I suppose, and unfortunately we got knocked out. So, yeah, you know, we were sort of already, I suppose, looking ahead to the next group. You know, the next games and the next big club, country. And unfortunately, yeah, the host did a number on us.
Mate, to be honest, I know you're not up to date with technology, but as soon as I looked at you beat Brazil 3-2 and then lost 1-0 to UAE in the next round, all I could think of was the monkey emoji with the hands over the eyes. Mate, now you've explained what happened, but I just, yeah, like I said, after having such a fantastic result and only giving away two goals to a world-class side like that, to come crashing back against UAE, you know, is something that I think, you know, I'm glad that you pointed out that it probably did take it maybe a little bit too easy, or sometimes you go to those heights and then you got to come back down again, and it's not always an easy thing to do.
No, that's right. Especially, you know, tournament football is just a completely different challenge because, you know, it's only a few days in between and you've got to get yourself up again to that peak performance. And, yeah, unfortunately, we just found the wrong hurdle.
So, I mean, I'm looking at that squad of players, and we saw them move on into NSL and obviously their A-League names as well. Was the World Cup there, the Youth World Cup, a bit like an audition? And is that where you were picked up by Basingstoke?
No, it wasn't so much. I don't think so. I ended up going to Basingstoke once the NSL stopped, and they basically had a year off to start the A-League up with the revamping and everything like that, or however long it was. Unfortunately, with the team I was at, the Strikers, that didn't make the cut for the A-League, so the Brisbane Roar did.
Still a travesty. Strikers should be there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But they wanted to obviously have a clean out of every club, start afresh, good decisions made.
The FFA board. Tongue in cheek.
Yeah, so look, after that I did a few rounds and I went over to England to try my luck, as a lot of people do. England's a completely different kettle of fish because England's sort of the main hub. Every single player around the world wants to go there. Yeah, look, I ended up at Basingstoke Town after a few trials at a few other clubs and, you know, settled there for a little bit. And it was enjoyable. Again, it was a bit lower, the standard, and I probably, again, didn't approach it or have the right attitude for it at the time because the standard wasn't great, the football wasn't great. I still remember, you know, I tried to play football and the first game, the ball came back to me from the kickoff. I passed the ball to my winger and the coach yelled at me because I didn't boot the ball up the park. So, you know, it was English football back in those days. So I ended up moving on from there and tried my luck at a few other places. Ended up in Romania and then back in mighty Sydney. And yeah, from there it went.
And did you, when you were with the Strikers and the league sort of came down to the crunch and the break before the A-League started, were you in talks with the Raw once they were identifying players, or was there anything sort of set up for, especially you younger generation that were coming through and establishing careers, was any path kind of given or any outlook given to you guys, or it was just good luck?
Yeah, pretty much just good luck. You know, I sort of went across to, you know, a couple of trials and that, but you know, the Roar at the time, who were the old Queensland Lions in the local Brisbane League, they, you know, they had a really solid team and they brought some good players in. So the squad was impacted from there. So, yeah, it was just one of those things. Numbers-wise, I didn't sort of really push myself and I just felt that I could probably get a better gig going somewhere else. So, yeah.
Mate, I love you being modest, but I can't buy that, mate. Like I said, I've coached you, and not only can you play as a defender, you can play anywhere in the midfield. So if they're telling me now in the A-League there's 20 better right fullbacks than you, I'll eat my hat. Seriously. I'll get me some salt and pepper, and I'll have it now, mate. There's no possible way. So just for the listeners, he's being as modest as he can be because there's no possible way there's probably a handful, let alone 20 guys that could have outplayed you. So how that didn't take you in the A-League, mate, I'm absolutely dumbfounded.
Yeah, these are the things, though, aren't they? As a player, you sort of, you get chances and you got to take them, and you know, some of these players, yeah, they've taken their chance and good on them.
Mate, you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said, I haven't really watched the A-League. When you've got a guy who's played, represented his country, right, and one of the better players for his generation at that time in the Australian squad, but doesn't watch the game, there's some disconnect and there's something going wrong. So, like I said, there's a lot of work for the new board who've come in to make sure they not only bring the fans back, but also bring in guys who were a big part of the game.
Yeah, look, you know, I think Australian football, I don't know if we've got a, how would you say, like an inferiority problem where we don't want to take this game to be the best. You know, all the problems that are happening in the other games and the other codes right now, this should be the time that football in this country just says we want to be number one. You know, cricket's gone through scandals. Rugby league, there's a scandal nearly every week. AFL, there's scandals. Like, soccer should just say, especially with the way the world's changing, soccer should say we want to be number one. Let's push everything into it, advertise the absolute shite out of this code, absolutely advertise the national team, the women's sport, women's game, advertise it, be number one at football in this country. And we just don't seem to want to do that. We seem happy just coasting along. And unfortunately, it's not great for the fans because fans want to be number one. The fans want this game to be big. And
couldn't agree with you more. You've spoken the voice of many people out there, mate. I suppose that makes my next question really easy then. You would be a massive believer in growing the number of teams in the actual A-League and then probably having a second division where we can promotion relegation.
Look, I think growth is absolutely 100%. We need more teams. There's got to be 16, 18 teams. You've got to have, you know, more teams in each state. There's got to be another one in New Zealand, another one in Adelaide. We need the derbies there to get that, you know, the crowd, the rivalry, that passion back in this game. The second division, look, I probably would be against it only because how big Australia is and the costs associated with the second division. I think a good progress through the NPLs, if you really did them right and you made, you know, like conferences sort of thing to make them, would be better. But unfortunately, there's still a gulf there. There's still a massive gap between the NPL and A-League. And, you know, and that's unfortunately the way it is. And hopefully they change it. But the fact is, with the NPL, you're training 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
The difference between the NPL to the A-League is they train every day. And to do that, to get your body ready, is such a big thing.
Well, we've kind of made that half move, haven't we, where we get the FFA Cup, which gives those NPL sides a little bit of a sniff. So, like you said, if we grow the A-League to 16, 18 teams, then we're a chance of giving those strong NPL sides a good showing in that national competition.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But again, they play at the start of the A-League pre-season. So we need to see them when it's the best of the A-League in their middle of the season and the best of the NPL in the middle of their season, playing off to see if they can really, really compete, not just against a second-rate team in their pre-season. We want to see the best and make sure these players are actually able to do it, they're prepared to do it. So, yeah.
Couldn't agree with you more there, Wayno. And just wrapping up your career, I mean, if you could change one decision in your career, what would that be?
Oh, look, when I did venture back, and I probably would have loved to try my hand into a few different markets. And unfortunately, I didn't have the contacts for, the Asian markets, and a few contacts would have really helped. But I would have loved to have tried that. I would have loved to go into some of these Asian countries that are really taking off, and some of the players that are going over there are good quality players, and unfortunately the A-League can't keep them because how much the competition over in those countries is.
Yeah, and we can't afford them either.
I wouldn't mind a bit of that coin paying over there, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Like, they can't compete.
Mate, you've had a crack at some coaching. How's it going, and are you enjoying being a coach over, say, when you were a player?
Look, I had a good go at coaching. I was a player coach for a couple of clubs and, had some success and had some failures. I actually enjoy coaching. I enjoy working with players and trying to improve them. That's a big thing for me, is trying to help other players to improve, to play at their best week in, week out. And I've sort of played at that standard, so now I want to, help them. But unfortunately, the FFA and Football Queensland up there sort of change the line every couple of years, where promotion relegation just goes off the board. The year I was fortunate enough to coach a winning side up there, we didn't get promoted into the top league, but a team that came second did. So
yeah, the craziness sort of it. Yep.
Yeah, the frustration sort of have really borne through, and not coaching this year and last year I didn't coach. I just went back to playing. I just felt like, I just want to have a bit of fun and play for a couple of years, and then I'll start again and go through the process of all the
badges,
fun of certificates and that sort of bollocks to be able to coach at a good level again. So,
mate, you've got a great football brain. So look, my advice to you would be stay in it, but I'm pretty sure too you didn't receive a Christmas card from the FFA. is that safe to say?
I love one, mate.
I tell you what, you've had a few good coaches in your time, both in Ange and Cozzy, and Gio gave in there, so I suppose you could have learned from him. How was Gio as a coach?
Oh, Gio was great. Absolutely.
Oh, come on, you've been honest all interview. Be honest still.
Look, that was seriously one of the best times I've had. I was scoring goals. He still reminds me of goals I scored.
Mate, not even just scoring them.
I'm a defender.
So you were scoring goals and then you were clapping yourself in the stands as well. That's one of the best celebrations I've seen.
Yeah, well, that's how much fun I was having, it changed my perspective on the game too, because I was always a defender, so playing a little bit higher up the park and being able to do it and having fun doing it, it sort of brought me back a bit of happiness into the game. So
you made me a worse player.
I've got to thank you for that.
You made me a worse player because I just stood there watching you. I forgot to run.
Yeah, but you didn't have to, and that's probably all you could do anyway. So
that was it.
Mate, I love that you're super kind to me, and that's why I consider you a good mate. But, mate, look, is there any hope? I think there's still a hope for me, because the two last Socceroos coaches have both been coached by you, so maybe you're the lucky charm. Is there any chance you think I could maybe get a gig with the national team?
Look, mate.
We'll let you speak to the FFA on his behalf.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's got a lot of contacts
the FFA
there.
Get on to him.
Yeah, mate, you can either speak to the FFA or the Football Queensland or the Department of Immigration. One of them will help you out.
Nah, look, I think if you wanted to, mate, you've got it there, but you've got to sit through all the boring stuff of the coaching courses and all that sort of shite that they want you to do these days. But anyway,
no, mate, look, I think I've had my day. I'd much rather be here with the boys interviewing players who can actually play than running around pretending I can coach.
And just the final question for tonight, Wayne, I really appreciate your time. What advice would you give to the young players who are trying to make it in the game?
The big one for me is ask questions. you know, really find out if you, especially if you're young and you're coming through and you're not making, you know, the first team, or you're not, you know, you're on the edge, or you've had a few goes. And the biggest problem I've seen is people on the outside that don't, they just support the game or whatever it may be, or family, they will sugarcoat a lot of stuff and they say, you know, this, and a lot of young players will end up just switching clubs because they're not getting a game. You've got to ask questions. You've got to speak to the coach and find out how to get there and what you need to do and how to improve your game and really stick it out, and you'll be a better player if you do it. You know, you need to know what's going on. As I said, a lot won't even ask the question. And, you know, that's a big flaw in the game. The players of today is that they just see an easier option and they walk away. You know, stick it out, show some ticker, and you'll be a better player in the long run.
Mate, I think that just sums it up. You must stay in the game. That's a no-brainer. I think the three of us here are nodding, you must stay in the game, mate. You add too much to the game. So, look, thank you very much for being on the show. I've not only had the great pleasure of coaching you, mate, but now I can add interviewing you to that list. I will catch you this next in a couple of weeks' time at the Maso Cup in Canberra, so make sure you're ready to carry me. I hope your back's feeling strong.
And I can't wait, mate.
Mate, and we'll also try and pop up to Queensland and take you to a couple of Raw games so we can turn your opinion around to the A-League.
I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'll be your guest any day.
All right, mate. Thank you very much for being on the show, Wayne.
Thanks, Wayne.
See you, Wayne.
All right, thanks, guys.
That was a great interview with Wayne. Very honest in his approach, apart from when he rated Gio as a coach. That surprised us all.